you were to physically see Jesus somehow today, if he were to make eye contact with you and gesture towards you, what gesture do you think he would make? Take a moment, let yourself come up with whatever the answer would be, and I'll give you a suggestion. I think if Jesus were to see you today, he would go. And I want to tell you why. We are learning from the greatest teacher who ever lived and the greatest teaching that has ever been impacting humanity called the Sermon on the Mount. And we come today to the 7th chapter in Matthew, and Jesus says this: "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now, sometimes people ask, how is it that it's possible to not judge? And yet at the same time, I'm supposed to judge the difference between what is good and what is evil. And so it's real important at this point to recognize the difference between being judgmental and exercising discernment. So if I go to the dental clinic, I expect my dentist not just to tell me, hey, good job, your teeth are great. If in fact there's cavities and receding gums, I want discernment. If I go to the skin clinic, dermatology clinic, which I do on a regular basis, I don't want my dermatologist to go, it's all great. Like if there's stuff that's got to get frozen off, burned off, and there always is, I want to know it. When Nancy takes me to the husband clinic, don't you wish there was such a place? We want to know the truth, but that's a different thing than what Jesus is talking about here. To be judgmental or to judge another person involves not simply speaking the truth. I'll go on in this text for a minute, then we'll come back to getting clear on what does it mean to judge in the wrong kind of way. So Jesus goes on. "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Now, it's a pretty comical picture to think of going to the optometrist and having him check out your eye when he comes in with a 2x4 hanging out his head. Sometimes people will talk or write about this as though the only issue is to make sure that when you are judging somebody else, you're being accurate, you're telling the truth. And I read online just this morning a couple of folks who are often involved in criticizing other people, including other people in the church. And then they'll get criticized for doing that, for being judgmental. And then the response back is, well, hey, we got to discern truth from error. So, yes, it's true. First of all, if I'm inaccurate about something, then that can be the wrong kind of judging. Then often I might think I know the truth when I don't. So a really useful expression is, I might be wrong. God, help me to not be too certain about how absolutely omniscient I am. However, when Jesus is talking about not judging, he's not simply saying, make sure you're accurate if you're going to pass judgment on somebody. This issue actually goes much more deeply to the nature of the heart, as we're seeing over and over again in the Sermon on the Mount. What's going on with my ego? Why is it that I want to say what I say, and what kind of impact will it have on another person? And what Jesus is inviting here is for you and me to give up on the whole method of condemnation engineering to manage our relationships and get other people to do what we want. To judge someone in this way is to condemn them, to attack their worth as a human being and suggest that they really just ought to be rejected, and to distance myself from it. Now, as we're learning from the Sermon on the Mount, it's good to remember the flow of it. Jesus is addressing the great questions of life. What's real? God and his kingdom, the kingdom, the presence and action and power and work of God. And what's the good life? It's to be immersed in the love of God within his kingdom. Blessed, 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 blessed. And then who is a good person? And a good deal of the Sermon on the Mount that we've been looking at is devoted to that question. Unless your goodness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. And then he gives a series of contrasts through the rest of chapter 5 around anger, sexuality, and so on. And then in chapter 6, he's also dealing with what's a good person. And he says, a good person isn't based on getting people to think about you in the right way. It's not about what I have. It's not about what I can do. Don't worry. And now in chapter 7, we're still dealing with good people. Here it's about relationships. And very brilliantly, Matthew 7, 1 through 12, Jesus will walk through, here's the way relationships work in the kingdom. And first he starts off with, they don't work. Condemnation engineering. Don't judge. And then we'll get in a little bit to how it is they do. Now, how does they do work? Now, why should we not judge? Well, condemning, rejecting, using condemnation engineering just shatters people's souls. Psychologists will talk about what they sometimes call rejection sensitivity bias. When a person has experienced a deep sense of rejection, maybe in your family growing up, maybe when you were in high school, you were not one of the cool kids, you were not popular. And by the way, in high school, nobody's popular, not at the deepest kind of level that can heal a soul. And so then what happens is, if I'm, say, at a coffee shop and somebody's half an hour late to meet me, I begin to tell myself, well, they've stood me up. They're doing this on purpose. They want to. I am hypersensitive to rejection, and the practice of condemnation wounds souls in that way. It's also the opposite of love because it involves a kind of self-righteousness. Alain de Botton's a philosopher. He wrote a wonderful book called Status Anxiety. And he talks about how Aristotle says that tragedy, the genre of tragedy, was intended, among other things, to improve our moral character. In a tragic story, the central character, Lear, Macbeth, Othello, needs to be not just somebody who wrestles with hubris or a flaw that causes a downfall, but it needs to be somebody that I can identify with, somebody where when I look at them, I like them, or I think I'm that way, so that I will reflect, you know, what they did, I could have done. And de Botton contrasts that with, in our day, tabloid journalism, where you and I might think about social media, and he writes about how the headlines of tragic literature would be quite different in tabloid journalism, like, the headline for Oedipus in our day would be Royal Caught in Incest, shocker. Because in that kind of genre, tabloid stuff, social media stuff, we do the opposite of tragedy. I distance myself. I condemn that person. I'm not like them at all. I would never do that. But now in the kingdom, we're invited to let go of that sense of superiority. It's very interesting. If you ever look at Romans chapter 1, I won't take the time to go through it, but Paul talks about how the wrath of God is being revealed against the wicked, and they devote themselves to wickedness and slander and gossip, and they do unnatural things, and their sexual wickedness, and people will sometimes read through that and think, oh yeah, man, they're terrible. There will be a much better place if we just got rid of them. And we'll preach sermons about that. But where Paul goes in Romans 2 is, therefore, you have no excuse, because when you pass judgment on others, you are guilty of the same thing. See, judgmentalism itself is at the core of sin because it is anti-love. It is a heart that is turned away from willing the good for the other and wanting to be with them, wanting the best for them. And that's the heart of Jesus. And that's why with Jesus, his attitude towards us is no condemnation. John 3:17, for Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that through him, the world might be saved. Or the woman that's caught in adultery, where Jesus says to her, does no one else condemn you? Neither do I. Or 1 John 3:20, where John says, even if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Or Psalm 34:22, that says, those who take refuge in the Lord will not be condemned. And so in Romans chapter 8, after this long passage about, I'm stuck, I can't, but God can, Paul says, therefore there is in Christ Jesus no condemnation. So, the gesture for today is this. You might remember in old movies where there's gladiators, the emperor will give the life or death sign. And there was all kinds of language for that. Apparently there's some controversy as to what exactly the right signage was, but they would actually talk about in Latin a phrase that meant the hostile thumb. There was a quite famous painting in 1872 of gladiators in the arena, and these priestesses are all just leaning to go like this. We want death. We condemn. There is not, therefore, in Christ Jesus, no condemnation. So today, don't receive condemnation from others. Remember, there is one who does not condemn me. There is one who loves me. And he will point out and work with me on where there's sin in my life, but not in a spirit of condemnation. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So I don't have to be shattered by condemnation or rejection at the hands of other people. I got to be humble. I can learn. I can be convicted. But that's different than being shattered by condemnation. And then as I am with other people today, here's the thought for today. Here's the gesture for today. Just secretly. Like all day long. I have a friend that had an old car. It was an old Woody station wagon from around 1950. It was in gorgeous condition. He let me drive. It was so interesting. When I would drive that car, people would just do this. If they see a real expensive high-performance car, they might be impressed. But something like this, like, oh, man, makes me glad to be alive. Here's the gesture for today. There is now no condemnation. When you're on the road today, okay, no condemnation. When you're talking with people just for today, no condemnation. When you do emails, the people with whom you live, remember, Jesus has nothing to do with condemnation. We give up condemnation engineering for today. Make it a golden rule day.
You've been listening to Become New with John Ortberg, where you can receive 10 minutes of daily teaching about the person you're becoming. If you like what you're hearing, you can head on over to our website, becomenew.com, where John has over 700 10-minute teachings on the person you're becoming, cataloged in 20 different series covering a range of topics you might be interested in. If you'd like to receive the emails that go along with each episode that include extra resources and discussion questions, you can let us know at becomenew.com/subscribe. Lastly, if you have a prayer request, there's a team of us who meet each weekday to pray for listeners just like yourself. You can send your specific request to us at the number 855-888-0444. We're glad you're here, and we'll catch you next time.